Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, I guess the bigger long-term political headline on Monday was certainly the approval of the House of Representatives easily of the compromise debt deal. There had been some stories earlier in the day that Boehner was again having trouble rounding up the votes. Clearly not the case. He got it by well over 50 votes. And so the good moment on the floor was the surprise we saw right during the vote, the appearance of Gabby Giffords, who of course has been in recovery from that horrific gunshot wound over the past 7 months.
There isn't a name that stirs more love, more admiration, more respect, more wishing for our daughters to be like her than the name of Congresswoman Gabby Giffords. Thank you, Gabby.
Jim, I think that's the least annoying statement Nancy Pelosi's ever made on the House floor, and it was great to see, even in the midst of this tense debate, everybody just understanding and appreciating the amazing recovery that she's made from what was believed to be at the time a fatal wound and certainly a life-debilitating wound. But she's just made incredible strides. It's an incredible miracle. And the fact that we can at least pause very briefly for that in political Washington at the height of this debate is a sign that at least something's still right.
Oh, it was. And I think something like this really puts a lot of things into perspective. One of the thoughts I had was that, boy, if you thought you've had a tough day any time in the past year, she was shot less than a year ago, and now she's back at work. And I think, it was kind of nice to see Biden said many things yesterday, but probably the least offensive one was his kind of surprise and joy to be embracing Gabrielle Giffords in one arm and Michelle Bachmann in another. And, the idea of Giffords, Biden, and Bachmann all embracing each other kind of, represents that, in the grand scheme of things, there are some things that transcend politics, and the healing of Gabby Giffords is one of those. We'll have plenty of time to gripe about some of the off-color or off-kilter comments that were made. But all in all, this was a pretty happy moment, and we should enjoy those when we get them.
Absolutely right. Yeah, there'll be plenty of time to talk about the political comments later. On to number two now, and you mentioned Joe Biden, who greeted Gabby Giffords on the floor, as did just about everybody else. Thrilled to see her. But earlier in the day, Joe Biden had emerged from a House Democratic caucus meeting and basically said that the House Republicans have acted like terrorists, something that was echoed by an angry Pennsylvania Congressman Mike Doyle. You can read all about it in Jim's Morning Jolt today. As you point out in the jolt also, Jim, Biden later tried to walk back that comment by saying, no, they're not really terrorists. They're just radicals ready to use a nuclear weapon. So clear that on the same day that, we're celebrating Gabby Giffords and, the change of the tone, here we are talking about just absolutely outlandish rhetoric trying to describe your political opponents. Nice timing there, Joe.
It is. And, it's worth noting Mike Doyle is the guy who said we negotiated with terrorists. There's some dispute as to what Biden said in response. The political report said they have acted like terrorists was his response to this. Now, his Biden staff insists he never used that word. The explanation was, no. I never said that they were terrorists or weren't terrorists. I just let them vent. I said, even if that were the case, what's been happening when you've now taken and paid the debt and moved that down so we can now discuss, the nuclear weapon's been taken out of anyone's hands. So they're not terrorists. They're just crazy people trying to detonate a nuclear bomb. It's completely different. Everybody can, chill out. We've been, mocking the every time a Democrat deviates from this alleged new tone that began after Tucson. And his civility speech really means nothing if the vice president has no problem. And even if he keeps insisting, well, he didn't use the word first, the idea that he said, I know you're really upset with the Republicans right now, but I just don't think it's, we shouldn't be calling them terrorists. That's just too much to ask of Joe Biden in today's things. And so the idea that, we've seen the word racist twisted beyond all recognition. We've seen casually calling political opponents Nazis. Now terrorist is the hyperbolic phrase du jour. And I guess, obviously we're getting towards the end of summer. Whenever the calendar flips towards September, I know what I start, thinking about, Greg. But I guess we can call our opponents terrorists till about, you think September 8th or 9th, probably. That's about the deadline. And then it's tasteless for about 2 or 3 days. And then we can go back to it, starting on, September 12th or 13th or so.
Just a lot of people not being very careful with their words at all as they try and describe their frustrations.
Not being careful. I think that in the minds of guys like Doyle, when some Republican tells them they can't get what they want, that really is the moral equivalent of terrorism to them. They don't see a distinction there. They don't think they're being careless. This is deliberate, Greg.
I think it's interesting, and I think you pointed it out also today, that it's okay to call the Republicans terrorists on economic issues, but actual terrorists, well, they always got to kind of use the weasel words and get around that. Extremists.
What motivates them? What did we do to provoke these terrorists?
Anyway, on to martini number three now. And today's August 2nd, in case you hadn't noticed, everyone. So this is the day, I guess tomorrow maybe, would be the day that the world was going to fall off an economic cliff if, in fact, this horrific deal was not approved by the House of Representatives and the United States Senate. It turns out that things might not be quite as dire as we originally suspected, because in addition to that little nugget and news a few days ago that we actually probably do have enough cash to go a few more days here, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, who urged against drastic, as they call them, spending cuts because it would be horrible for our job situation, now says these cuts, meager as they are, really won't have an effect on the job situation at all. Another hyperbolic talking point put back in the quiver only after the fact. Nicely done there.
Yeah, I kind of said, I thought from the beginning that Obama had a couple goals in this. One of them was to get the next vote past 2012, so there's enough to deal with raising the debt ceiling again. But I also think that whatever came out of the negotiations over the debt ceiling, Obama was going to insist that because he didn't get his way, the economy was going to be hurt. And so the idea was to get Republicans to co-own the economy from this day forward. And if there had been a default, he definitely would have blamed it and blamed all future economic problems on that. He may still attempt to say that the deal wasn't good enough and didn't get after those darn corporate jet owners and hedge fund managers, et cetera. But it's going to be tough for Obama or Debbie Wasserman Schultz or any one of these Democrats to come out and blame unemployment or other economic problems on the debt ceiling deal, because Tim Geithner just came out and said, no, the deal's not going to cost us jobs. And it's a nice, 8-second soundbite that can fit into any campaign ad. I don't know whether Geithner knew what he was doing on this. I think the problem with the argument I was describing earlier is that it puts Obama in a circumstance of saying, look, the debt ceiling hurt our economy, cut too much, too fast, didn't make things wise. And the only way to improve it is to take the president who signed into law and reelect him. Reelect me to save you from the mistakes I made in my first term. And I just have this feeling that that's a flawed argument. I don't know whether Geithner is thinking about it on a political level or whether he's just kind of look at this and saying, well, the cutbacks in the coming year are small. They're going to be enacted. A lot of them are back-weighted. They're going to be enacted fairly slowly. So no, we shouldn't expect the debt ceiling deal to affect the unemployment rate or joblessness. And I think Geithner is right. Separately from whether he's right, he's just taken an arrow out of the quiver of Democrats as they head into the 2012 reelection cycle.
Yeah, a real big one. And I really liked one of the blog postings that you referred to yesterday, where once this deal was done, the Democratic talking point is reminiscent of Dr. Claw and Inspector Gadget, where he says, I'll get you next time, corporate jet owner, next time. That's where the Democrats are right now. Maybe
they really need to do it in a deeper, gravelly voice, Greg. I'll get you next time, corporate jets. And your little ATM, too.
Exactly right. That's a nice mixture there with the Wizard of Oz. Anyway, Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.